is your host, Sherry Herrera-Day Fry, mom, composter, gardener, entrepreneur, and Dr. Bug Lady. My guest this hour is the accomplished Mace Vaughn, Xerces Society Pollinator Conservation Program Director, and I am just delighted to have him on the show with me. We are going to cover a lot of information, so if you have questions about bees and other pollinators, he's the person to ask. Throughout the show, if you have a question about our topic or any other gardening or farming topic, you can give us a call at 855-660-4261. When you call in with a question for Mace or myself, you'll receive a raindrop mason bee house. It's easy to hang, and this house is designed to ensure proper drainage and to offer proper protection from the elements. It retails for $69.95, and it's yours when you call in during this hour with a question for Mace or myself. The number one more time is 855-660-4261. Mace Vaughn was born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. His passion for insect conservation started with keeping honeybees after he graduated from the university in 1995. After discovering the diversity of bees and other insects visiting flowers in upstate New York, he was hooked on the amazing diversity of these animals and the critical services they provide, pollination, pest management, and food for wildlife. His passion for education and conservation led him to work for the Xerces Society, the oldest invertebrate conservation organization in the United States, which for more than 40 years has worked to protect wildlife habitat by focusing on conserving insects and their habitats. Mace has led Xerces Pollinator Conservation Program since 2003 and served as Joint Pollinator Conservation Specialist to the USDA Natural Resource Conservation Service since 2008. And in his time at the Xerces Society, the Pollinator Conservation Program has grown from a small pilot project on California farms to an $800,000-a-year program implementing pollinator conservation projects across the U.S. Supervising 9 pollinator conservation specialists across the U.S., he now oversees the largest pollinator conservation team in the country. Mace has written numerous articles on the conservation of bees, butterflies, aquatic invertebrates, and insects, and he's co-author of one of my favorite books. It's a new publication called Attracting Native Pollinators, Protecting North America's Bees and Butterflies, as well as the Pollinator Conservation Handbook. He is the lead author of Farming for Bees, Guidelines for Providing Native Bee Habitat on Farms. He was a lecturer on honeybee biology and beekeeping at Cornell University, from which he holds master's degrees in entomology and teaching. Mace has conducted research into the behavior and community ecology of insects, and he's even worked as an insect wrangler and bee expert for PBS Nature. I don't normally give such a long introduction, but this man has done so much. I think it's well worth everybody hearing what he's done. And now I would like to welcome Mace Vaughn to join me on the Easy Organic Gardener. Hi, Mace. How are you doing today?
Hi, Sherry. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Say, I've got a little bit of a cold here this morning, so apologize. But I'm so delighted to have you on. And by the way, Bob Bug says hello. I had a nice visit with him on the phone yesterday, and he said, oh, he's a great guy. He's wonderful. And I said, well, I said, I don't know him personally, but I'll tell you from what I can tell, you are incredible. And the amazing work that you've done, and I just want you to know, I have had your book sitting on my coffee table for about a year, Attracting Native Pollinators. I just love it. It's amazing what you've done and how you put it together. And so I highly recommend it to everybody who's listening today. You need to get a copy because it's the tell-all. It's beautifully illustrated and put together in such a way that you really have an appreciation for all these invertebrates. So, anyway, Mace, thank you. I appreciate you going to so much trouble.
Oh, thank you. No, I mean, that book is 10 or 12 years of work all combined into one. So I really appreciate that.
It's really beautiful. I mean, the pictures. And the other thing is I want to make a plug for the Xerces website. Xerces, that's spelled XERCES.org. And it is a beautiful website. I was just sort of, you sort of get paralyzed looking at it because there are banners at the top of the site and all these different insects and, I mean, beautiful, not just insects, but other wildlife as well. And the pictures are gorgeous. Who took those pictures? They're amazing.
We've got a fantastic team of volunteers who offered us their work, and we also have a lot of talented people on staff, so a lot of those pictures are ours from just people that they've taken in the field when they've been out working. So
just beautiful. Oh, my gosh. So let's get right into it. Everybody wants to know bee collapse. Let's just quickly talk about that. We need to know about it. My son wrote a paper in college about it, and so I know that's the big topic. Tell us, what is going on with the bees?
Well, it's interesting. Like, the story in terms of our understanding hasn't really changed in the last probably 2 or 3 years, where we still believe that with the honeybee, when it's collapsing, when we see this thing, this phenomenon called colony collapse disorder, it still looks like the causes of it are a combination of several different factors, from diseases, new and old, parasites that have been introduced over the last 25 years that weaken bees, pesticide use in the landscape, and nutrition, just the whole, the diversity or the lack of diversity of flowering plants that provide diverse pollen and nectar for honeybees has been demonstrated to weaken their ability to cope with pesticide exposure or to cope with disease, much in the same way if you don't get your all the vitamins and minerals that you need, then your body is weakened and unable to fight disease. With the honeybees, it looks like the same is going on. And what's actually pushed us over that tipping point to where we have this interesting phenomena where in colony collapse disorder, the honeybees just flock from the hive, literally disappear from the hive over a very short period of time, is still unclear. We still don't know exactly what tips colonies over that. I find it fascinating that we still don't know, but that it looks like it's just all these stresses in the environment.
Sure makes sense. I mean, with the environment is definitely stressed, and the diversity is probably one of the biggest issues because we have lost so much diversity, and with monoculture, and then of course a lot of some people are talking about genetically modified crops, that type of thing as well. And so I think it's, you can't really point the finger at one issue, but you certainly could make a good case as you mentioned for all of these different things. I mean, I think that everybody is very concerned about it. You know, bees are indicator species, and if we don't protect our bees, we're going to be in big trouble.
I think that's right. And one of the things that I found most interesting from all this is that there are opportunities for all of us to take action. Even if it seems small, we can all play a role in sort of increasing the resilience of our environment to be able to support not just honeybees, but all of us, the thousands of native species of bee that are out there in the U.S., not to mention the butterflies and all the other important invertebrates that are critical for feeding wildlife and keeping our gardens and our farms productive.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that we're going to get into. I'm looking at the clock, and we've got about 45 seconds before we have to go off. So before I get you into a really big question, but I think that the most important thing here is that we're not just talking about the bees. We're talking about all the other insects that do pollinate. It's not just bees. I mean, flies pollinate. It's just simple old Musca domestica. And so even though we don't think very highly of flies, I mean, they're part of the whole picture as well. So it's such a diverse group of wildlife that are so important to pollination. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, Mace, and when we come back, we're going to start getting right into the heart of our conversation and learn some more about those pollinators. So for those of you who are listening, give us a call if you have a question at 855-660-4261. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Don't Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens, with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Everybody, this is Sherry Herrera de Fry, and you're listening to the Easy Organic Gardener, EASY, Environmentally and Sustainably Yours. My guest today is an amazing person, Mace Vaughn. That's Mace Vaughn, and he is the co-author of an amazing book that I just can't stop looking at. It's called Attracting Native Pollinators. It's beautifully illustrated, and it's not just about bees. It's about all kinds of insects, and the pictures are amazing. Anyway, and he also was the lead author on a book called Farming for Bees, Guidelines for Providing Native Bee Habitat on Farms. And I know a lot of you are very interested in this topic, so definitely go online, and if you need to get those books, I totally recommend them. Mace, welcome back.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about diversity of pollinators that visit our gardens and farms, because we were just talking about, you know, just common flies, we actually got sell flies on occasion. We grow them in our insectary, but we sell them as pollinators for crops like carrots, for example, and onions. And so, and I noticed in the book you talk about that too. So let's just talk about the diversity that so our audience can really understand. We're not just talking about bees. We're talking about a lot of things.
Yeah, well, if you wouldn't mind actually digging first deeper into those bees, because I think most people, when they think of bees, they think of the honeybee, for sure, which is a, you know, European species that was brought over in the 1620s and really important for honey production and crop pollination. And most people know about bumblebees, and there are 50 species of bumblebee all across the United States, but there are almost 4,000 species of other bees that are out there. And the diversity is, I find the diversity to be fascinating. There are sweat bees, there are metallic green sweat bees, there are sunflower bees and longhorn bees, squash bees, resin bees. There are just dozens and dozens of different types of bees that you might see in your garden. So when you go out there, some of those insects you might even think are flies actually are, you know, sometimes tiny little bees that are out there visiting those flowers. And so for me, that's one of the things that I find pretty interesting, is that there's this huge diversity out there that's in many cases providing most of the pollination. I mean, bees, that whole group, are really providing the bulk of our pollination in the United States. But you're absolutely right that there's also this tremendous diversity of flies. There are hoverflies, and there are flowerflies, and there are they call them tachinids, and there are any number of different fly species that are out there that are also visiting flowers. They're not nearly as good pollinators as the bees are, but they're definitely pollinating. And in crops like carrots or onions, even that common housefly, as you were discussing, has become an important pollinator in those fields. And one of the things I find really interesting about those flies is that while they're not particularly good pollinators in most cases, many of them provide all sorts of other benefits. Many of those flies, those hoverflies, for example, when they're larvae, when they are crawling around as little larvae on plants, they're actually eating aphids, and they're really important for pest control. So a lot of people plant small flowered plants around their garden to have more, say, flower flies there providing pest management. And then you've got the beetles. There's a whole diversity of beetles that visit flowers, from soldier beetles and lady beetles, that similarly are there, you know, they do a little bit of pollination. And so many of them are also providing pest control, which is kind of fun. And then you've got our wasps, which everybody hates wasps. And, you know, for good reason. They use the yellow jackets and the hornets. They've got a bad reputation for coming to your barbecue. But those same wasps are also providing some pollination. And most of them don't bother you. Most of them don't want to sting, or are very reluctant to do so. And most of them are feeding on aphids and caterpillars and all sorts of soft-bodied insects, even scale, that they're collecting off of plants and also doing their part for pest management.
I love wasps. We grow them in our insectary, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And you probably grow tiny little parasitic wasps.
We do.
Most people don't even see, but these, if you've got stink bugs or if you've got Japanese beetle, if you've got all sorts of other pests in your garden, they're also out there. And what they need those flowers. When we're creating a habitat for pollinators, those tiny little parasitoid wasps will go and feed on that nectar in those flowers and allow them to lay more eggs to do more work in our garden.
Yeah, it's amazing the diversity out there. It's just it's a multiverse. And, unless you really get out there and spend a little time, you don't really, I think people don't appreciate it as much as we might. Particularly, you know, because we have sort of this generation of people that forgot how to garden. You know, our parents were the first people to have seriously, canned food and frozen dinners and that type of thing. And they forgot to show us how to garden. And so there's such a mystery about what's going out there. And you just need to sit and watch because there's so much going on. And it's beautiful how it all fits and folds together. Every little piece has a part to play. And it's just, you know, sometimes I just think, how does it know? How does it know to do what it does? It just, it's amazing. It's so beautiful. So, when we talk about habitat, because you just brought that up here, one of the things we recommend for gardeners is that they do plant habitats, and farmers as well. For the last 20 years, we've been talking about refuge crops and bio-oases, and of course, this is Bob Bug stuff, you know, from way, way back. He's absolutely one of my heroes, along with you as well. And I'll tell you, this whole idea of habitat, it's something that's beautiful. It supports wild bees and honeybees. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, the habitat question is a really interesting one because you're right. People have been looking at it, particularly from a pest control perspective, going back to Bob's work, you know, in the 80s and then for, decades before that. And what's been interesting is that there's always been that steady push to have that habitat there, but it's only been in the last 15 years. And in fact, Bob Bug, in a way, kicked off this research by introducing Claire Kremen, who's a MacArthur Genius Award winner at the University of California, Berkeley, who was our original partner in working on habitat for pollinators and ag landscapes. And Bob is the one who connected her with farms that were interested in studying the role of wild habitat and wild native bees in crop pollination. And what we've discovered over the last 10 years, 15 years, is that habitat in our farm landscapes, habitat around our gardens, is resulting in enough wild bees in many places to actually provide all the pollination service we need. Now, if you've got a huge monoculture of 50, 100, 200 acres, you really need to bring in honeybees to pollinate 200 acres of almonds or 200 acres of blueberries. But though any place where you've got, 40-acre fields or fewer with habitat and wildlife habitat in the surrounding landscape, those farms are getting a lot of pollination. In fact, most farms in the eastern United States, they're 20 acres or less. Typically, they're divided up by woodlots and subdivisions and odd areas and fields and old fields. Those crops, those squash crops, those watermelon crops, those blueberry crops, cranberry even, they can get almost all the pollination they need from the landscape.
That's what we like to hear about is that, it's a perfect way to reduce our reliance, on the honeybees. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking some more about bees and habitat with Mace Bond. Don't go away.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online. online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
According to the FBI, close to 400,000 burglaries take place in the United States between November and December each year. Seems burglars shop for the holidays too, for easy targets. Here are a few things that you can do to lower the risk of a break-in. Lock doors and windows. Don't have newspapers and mail accumulate in front of your house. Don't announce your travel plans on social media. And plug in fake TV. Burglars love the dark. Fake TV is a bit like a light on a timer, but more convincing. Plugs into any outlet and simulates the colors and movement of a real TV. Burglars will see light and movement and likely move on to easier targets. Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and makes a great Christmas gift. Or it's perfect if you're traveling over the holidays or anytime. So before you leave your house looking like an empty, easy target, order Fake TV today. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You're listening to The Easy Organic Gardener. This is Sherry Herrera-Day-Fry. My guest today is Mace Vaughn, and we're talking about pollinators. He is the author, co-author of Attracting Native Pollinators and main author of Farming for Bees, and heads up the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. So if those of you who are listening, if you give us a call, if you have a question, the phone number is 855-660-4261. And if you call in, we're going to reward you with a Raindrop Mason Bee House. So, it retails for $69.95 and it's yours when you call in with a question during this hour. Welcome back, Mace. This show goes by so fast, you know. we were talking about the habitat and, you know, I think it's so important that people realize it's something that you can plant, whether you're a small gardener or a large farmer. I mean, we work with very large farmers that are planting habitat to support wild bees as well as honeybees. And as you were saying, there's a multi-pronged approach because not only for the support of bees and the wild bees, as well as for defense from pest insects, which is another benefit. And there are others, not to mention, you know, in certain cases, it's weed suppression and whatnot. So habitats are really important. One of the things, though, that's really critical that I think people are so concerned about as far as this bee colony collapse issue is, what about pesticides and the impacts that pesticides have on bees, and what are we doing to reduce the impacts?
That's a great question. You know, obviously, pesticides, particularly insecticides, are designed to kill insects. And so if they are not used with pollinators in mind, you know, they are getting out of the environment and they're killing bees, wild bees, honeybees. They're also killing other beneficial insects. So we've been working at the Xerces Society pretty hard to help educate people about how to reduce those risks. We also have some pretty significant concerns, particularly actually with at the moment with home gardening, in that today you can go to your local garden center, you can go to Home Depot, you can even go to small locally owned shops and pick off the shelf bottles of 12-month, plant insect protection. And these are that include these systemic insecticides, these neonicotinoid insecticides that get taken up into the plant tissue by applying it in a drench around the base of the plant. And the worry is that this comes out, and this insecticide actually comes out in the pollen and nectar of those plants, actually providing poison food to these bees. And there's been a lot of controversy around these products. But one area that's not been discussed are these homeowner products where there's no warning on the label, where the application rates are 10 to, 60 times greater than what's allowed in agriculture. And we may be creating rose bushes and backyard apple trees that are actually poisonous. There's data, there's evidence from the literature, from research that demonstrates that when applied at allowed rates, which can be quite high, the nectar and the pollen that is produced by these plants is in the toxic level range, not sublethal, not subtoxic, not below, but actually in a toxic range. And so it's important for homeowners to know that and be careful about what products they're picking off the shelf.
Yeah, that is the thing, because people always, more is always better. And so, as you're saying, not only are we talking about something that's higher levels than what you would find, say, in large agriculture, where people don't really, there's nobody to police in a way how much is being used. And so that's, and the other thing is many of these products, you really have to look at the labels, seriously look at the labels to understand that they have an impact on aquatic animals as well. And so it's not just the bees, but it's others. And so every part, it plays a role. And when we begin to harm one, everything else is in the chain and it begins to collapse as well.
Exactly. I think that's exactly right. And we're also facing a situation too where not only homeowners, but farmers too, as we look at pest, like resistance to pesticides in farm landscapes, more and more often people are applying insecticides without any sort of an integrated pest management plan, without any sort of a really, really thoughtful approach to how they're addressing their pest concerns. Growers, farmers are busy people and they're trying to balance a lot. And so I believe we really need to do everything we can just to help encourage farmers and other landowners to really be thinking about these issues and to help them find strategies for managing pests, but in a way that has as little or no impact on all these other beneficial insects that are out there.
It's really true because, we, from the very beginning, we would always talk about how when you use a spray, a synthetic, particularly a synthetic spray, but even organically approved insecticides, also, you instead of using an IPM approach, which you're saying, which is where you do least amount of harm first. And, we talk about monitoring, trapping, so we can see what we have out there as far as our pests are concerned. And then we use our least toxic methods for example, beneficial insects, organisms. That doesn't always happen. And what happens is I see a bug, I get out the weapons and I go crazy. And what happens is we kill everything. We kill the beneficials, we kill everything. And the beneficials, they do not reproduce as quickly as the pests do. And so you're on this pesticide treadmill that you can't ever seem to get off of. And it's very serious.
I think that's right. And I think you're absolutely right that, these sort of secondary effects, like here you've tried to deal with one problem and you've really created another. So much of what we need to do both for our gardens and for our farms is to, really have the support from, from scientists, from conservationists, from other farmers to share their stories on how they're really trying to make sure they've got all these different sort of tools in the toolbox that are, allowing for some pest damage, a little bit, but not enough to cause a real economic hardship. And, it's just critically important, I think, for all that, because this ultimately allows us to protect pollinators, which ultimately affects the yields of our garden.
Exactly. It's everything is dependent on everything else. Even some of these organic approved insecticides, they have some serious impacts on bees as well.
They really do. There are, as you said, overall safer. But if you look at the pyrethrins, you know, the naturally derived from the chrysanthemum, these products are toxic. The story I like to tell is, poison ivy is an organic product, but I wouldn't want to rub that on me. In much the same way that a lot of these plants create toxic compounds that we can spray, in our gardens as organic approved, but it's important to recognize that Bavaria or that pyrethrin, that spinosad, which is being used more and more and more commonly on organic farms, that these products are broadly toxic to a wide range of insects, including pollinators. And so just as for using any sort of a conventional insecticide, in much the same way, we need to exercise the same caution and care with these products as well.
Most definitely. We have a caller, so I'm going to bring our caller on real quickly. And I did not hear the name of the person. Betty. Betty. Hi, Betty. Welcome to the Easy Organic. We're good today. Excuse me. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Austin.
Oh, wonderful. Great. We have a good following in Austin. We've got about 25 seconds. So, Betty, what I'd like to do is have you stay on through the break, and then when you come back on, you can ask your questions. So is that all right with you to stay on?
That's fine.
Very good, because I know Mace is going to want to take the right amount of time to answer your question, and so we're going to go off the air here in about 2 seconds, so don't anybody go away. And for those of you who are listening, we are coming right back in about a minute or two, so we're talking about bees and pollinators, and we are coming right back, so don't go away.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
When natural disasters strike and the water supply is shut off, you won't panic because you have a CWR emergency water filter. CWR Environmental has been supplying emergency water filters worldwide for over 25 years. The difference? CWR emergency water filters are portable, easy to set up, and exceptional at removing bacteria, parasites, sediment, and many harmful contaminants, including chlorine and harmful microorganisms. Plus, they are NSF certified to assure performance. CWR emergency water filters can produce thousands of gallons of safe drinking water from any water source and come with a 5-year warranty and money-back guarantee. For a limited time, the filters are specially priced with free shipping. Call now, 800-444-3563. That's 800-444-3563. Or go to CWRSurvival.com. That's CWRSurvival.com. CWR Emergency Water Filters. Drinking water you can trust for when you need it most. CWRSurvival.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA, and are built to last a lifetime, using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel, and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135, and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves. Available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Sherry Herrera de Fry, and you're listening to the Easy Organic Gardener, EASY, Environmentally and Sustainably Yours. My guest this hour is the amazing Mace Vaughn, and he is author of Attracting Native Pollinators and Farming for Bees, and we are having an amazing time talking about pollinators. Welcome back, Mace.
Thanks, Sherry.
And we have Betty from Texas, and she has a question for you, Mace. So, Betty, are you a gardener? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm in a condo, so I can't do a great deal. I do have a bird feeder with suction cups on my living room one, and I have a bird bath, and I grow European night crawlers and red wigglers.
Wonderful.
So I'm doing my bit to try to make the earth a better place here. But I'm curious as to what he could recommend me to do to help out the insects.
Well, that's a great question, Betty. Being sort of in a condo, you have sort of more limited options. One thing you could do that Sherry's mentioned a couple times is put up a small block, a small bee nest, where you could have some of these solitary bees, some of our solitary native bees that are very gentle bees that live in tunnels in wood or bundles of straws. And you could put something like that up by a window, ideally someplace where there are, you know, there's some nature not too far at hand to try to encourage them to come in. And they'll come and nest in those tunnels. And you can learn about those on our website, looking at information on nesting structures. But you also, I don't know if you've got room even for a big potted plant on a veranda or on a porch, but could even
plant a porch.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you've got a sunny spot on a porch and a big pot with something simple, even like Russian sage in it, you know, some sort of a plant that would get pretty big, you know, a couple, 3 or 4 feet big and tall and maybe a foot and a half or two across that has a lot of flowers. Our book has some examples, but Russian sage is one idea that comes to mind. I'm trying to think of others that might be good.
Sweet alyssum might be good.
Oh, well, you can plant that around the base, yeah.
Sweet alyssum is another one. Sweet alyssum, it's a pretty hardy plant. It's not bushy, but it certainly attracts the bees. What do you think, Mace?
I think that would be nice, because if you could plant something like, let's say, a Russian sage that has a tall structure to it, mm-hmm. The sweet alyssum does a fantastic job of almost being a sort of a rolling wave of bloom just low over the ground.
I have some lantana in a big pot.
Yeah, the lantana attracts a fair number of butterflies, but the problem, your challenge is going to be having something that's big enough that it's attractive, that it's like a billboard. And so the lantana can get pretty big. You could think about catmint, which is incredibly attractive to a huge number of pollinators, from butterflies to bees to flies. And get something like that out there in a big pot and have some alyssum attractive around the bottom of it. I mean, even planting a pot full of cosmos and having those come up densely and tall could do a lot, I think. And be a fun thing to have just on the porch.
What could you spell it for me?
Sure, the cosmos. Cosmos is one. That's, you can put seeds in the pot for that. Russian sage or cat mint are two others. And then sweet alyssum around the bottom is nice as well.
One of the things that we offer through Arbic Organics is a beneficial insect habitat. They're seeds, Betty. And what I'm going to do, along with providing you with our beautiful mason bee lodge, if you will, it's a little bee house, and it's really lovely. It's actually made by a native tribe in Guatemala, and it's painted with zero VOC paint, and it's really beautifully put together. So along with that, what I'm going to do is provide you a seed mix that actually has almost all the things that we've talked about in it, plus others. And what's nice about it is that it continues to a lot of it is perennial in there, and so it there's always something blooming, so there's always a habitat for your pollinators and also for other beneficials. So that's a great way to do your part. That's a great way to do your part, and you're already doing your part. So by growing those worms, I it brought a big smile to my face, because we're all sort of vermiculture nuts, and we just love to feed our worms. You'd be amazed the kinds of things that they can that they eat, and I mean, you get this beautiful reward, which is their castings, and they're so rich for gardening and whatnot. So keep up the good work. I'm so glad you called. Yes,
I had no idea they had castings.
I'm going to put that habitat in there for you, along with that mason bee house. And thank you for calling, and call again. Let us know how you're doing. Okay.
Thank you for your program. I love it.
Thank you so much, Betty. Bye bye now. So, Mace, I love this idea of people, there you have it. There's, Betty doesn't have a huge amount of land or anything, but this is something that she can do, and it's beautiful just to sit there and watch what happens. I mean, that's the thing that, you're all of a sudden you have a free entertainment and beauty of what you're growing.
It's true. It's multiple wildlife right in your backyard.
Here you go.
It's really fun.
So, we've got about 4 minutes left, so I want to be sure that we've got a lot of questions. I mean, I have a lot of questions for you, but I want to be sure that we hear from you on, what is, I think probably what is the number one thing that gardeners and farmers can do to increase their populations of wild bees? I think that's really important.
Well, I think that's really the message I would like to leave on, which is, I think the most important thing that people can do first off is the plant flowers. We get a lot of questions, particularly from folks who say, hear about the problems with honeybees, and one of the first thoughts that often comes to mind is, I should start becoming a beekeeper. That's what will help protect and conserve the bees. But in fact, no, that's not. You should become a beekeeper if you want to raise honey, and that's exactly why you should become a beekeeper, if you're just fascinated with them. But really, if you want to take action that's going to have a definitely positive benefit, it's to plant wildflowers, to get more nutrition, more food out there. There's studies from Great Britain that show that areas of cities that have more abundant gardens are actually supporting bumblebees better than anywhere else in the country. And that turns out, even in the farmland in Great Britain, home gardens are one of the biggest things that's driving populations of bumblebees, and this is something we can all do. You could also put out nest sites, like those mason bee nests that we were just talking about with Betty, and absolutely make sure you're taking care with your pesticides, ideally not using them at all. Ideally, looking for alternative ways, or just putting up with your pests. But to plant flowers, to plant milkweed, we can be supporting all sorts of bees, but also the monarch butterflies. Looking to plant bee balm and wild bergamot, these fantastic bee plants that just swarm with these insects when they come into bloom. We really need to be doing this, and letting people know. We've got a campaign that we kicked off last year with Whole Foods Markets nationwide called Bring Back the Pollinators. And if you go to bringbackthepollinators.com, it connects you with our website and all of the resources we have online for free, but also provides a link to a pledge where you can take the Bring Back the Pollinators pledge to even enroll your garden, to get your garden on a map so we can all see where people are putting gardens in the ground to protect pollinators and help bring them back to our landscapes. And right now we've got over 1,000 backyard gardens and farms that have signed up there. You can buy a sign, so you can have a signage on your garden that says, you know, I've planted diverse wildflowers and I'm being careful with my pesticides in order to bring pollinators back. We've got a beautiful sign that you can buy and put up in your garden. We're at the stage now where we've been doing for years, cheerleading and getting people excited about this diversity of wildlife that you can attract to your backyard. But we're at this really great point with our book, with the outreach that we do nationwide, to thousands of farmers and gardeners and conservationists each year, to really encourage people and help people to take action.
That's what it's all about, taking action. And, you know, each of us has, no matter how little our situation is or how big it is, we all can be a part of the solution. And I'm just so delighted. We have a quick caller, Janice, and I'm not sure we're going to get to her call or not. But Janice, come join us real quick here. We've just got about a minute.
Yes. I wanted to know what's happening about the killer bees that were coming up from the south. And how far have they gone? Are they really bad here in Texas, or have they gone on up? And I was also interested in the plants to put on the peripheral parts of the garden to encourage other kinds of bees.
That's a great question. They've more or less stalled out. They've come up into central Texas. They're just the same species as the honeybee, just more aggressive. And where they have moved in, cities like Tucson, Arizona, they really pushed out all of the bumblebees in that town by moving into all the nest sites that the bumblebees might use.
So, Mace, I'm gonna cut you off here, darling. Thank you so much. And Janice, I'm gonna get your phone number to our person, and we'll call you right back. Thank you, everybody. Next week, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.